Well, listen, tonight, I just got to say, man, whenever you come to church service, whether it be shift, Friday nights, Saturday morning service, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday evening service, Thursday morning girlfriend service, whenever you come to service, man, if you can remember, this service and me being at the service has not taken God by surprise. He's got something good for me that day. And you bring your Bible and something to take notes with, I believe and I know that you'll be blessed in your life. I know that God will speak to you. I know God will minister to you. The Bible says, man, God will do marvelous things in your life. So if we can remember that, man, every time we come to service, man, it hasn't taken God by surprise. He's not up there like, oh my gosh, we have shift Friday night. I forgot. No, he hasn't taken by a surprise. He has something good for you tonight. So are you ready for the word? Well, cool. If you're here last week with us, Pastor Luke preached a great message and at the same time kicked off a great series called Talk the Talk, Walk the Walk. How many of you here for that last week? Well, hey, listen, I encourage you, if you weren't here for that, you got to get online, you got to download the sermon, you got to check it out because God will bless your life through that message. And so we learned last week, hey, we've got to not only talk a talk, but we've got to walk a walk. As Christians living out life today, the Christian life is not accomplished. The Christian life is not walked out in just the things that we say, but it's walked out, it's lived out by our lifestyle, by the way we conduct ourselves, amen? And so he preached a great message, and tonight we're going to be continuing in that series, Talk the Talk, Walk the Walk. I've got a verse for you on the overhead. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. You don't need to turn there. If you're taking notes, you can just write down the reference tonight. But this is what the Bible says. This is actually what Jesus says. He says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Next part. Do you have the next part? Okay. I'll read it for you real fast. It's all right. All right, 15 verse 8. It says, Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And actually, it's my fault because it's verse 9. He says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so it's very clear to us today, we can see that these people that Jesus is talking about here, man, they had a certain talk about them, but they did not have the walk that followed. They said all the right things. The Bible says that they worship God, but they didn't have a walk. They didn't have a lifestyle that followed. Their heart was far from the Lord. If we were to break it down in today's language, in San Bernardino language, we could say God is not interested in lip service. God is not interested in lip service, but what he's interested in is our heart and is our lifestyle, our walk. Does our walk back what our mouth talks? Does our walk and our heart back what our mouth says tonight? And so it's also very clear to me, and I believe to you as well, in this verse, man, again, we could see that Jesus is not interested in lip service, but in our heart and in our walk. And so tonight, again, we're going to be talking about talk the talk, walk the walk, part number 2. And if you brought your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse number 1. Talk the talk, walk the walk, part 2. John chapter 13, verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so if you look at this verse, it's very clear to us that, hey man, Jesus in his life here in John chapter 13, he comes to the realization. He comes to the reality, hey, you know what? I'm in my last hour. I'm in my last moments here on earth. I've got about a day left before I go and I die on the cross for the sins of the world. As you read that part, it says, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, it's almost like it struck him. Hey, you know what? Everything I've been teaching, everything I've been preaching up until this point about going to the cross, man, the time has come. The hour has come. I'm in my final hour. It's come time. I've got about a day left before I go on to be with the Lord, before I finish my work and die on the cross for the sins of the world. It's very interesting what Jesus does in this moment. If you read on in verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, you'll find that Jesus girds himself with a towel and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And really this verse here, John 13:1, is the beginning of the story of the Last Supper. How many of you are familiar with the story of the Last Supper tonight? We're all familiar with it. We've all seen the pictures. We've all seen the paintings. Jesus is there and he's sitting at a table and his disciples are all around the table and they're passing around the bread and the wine. It's the Last Supper before he goes on and dies on the cross for us. And so I find it very interesting what Jesus does when this reality hits him. Hey man, I'm in my last moment. I'm in my last hour. I've got about a day left. What Jesus does is he gathers his disciples together and he begins to pour into their lives the things they needed to know in order for them to be a success after he was gone. He begins to pour into their lives the important things. How many of you realize, man, if it's your last hour, if it's your last moments here on earth, you've got a couple days left, God has come and spoke to you. How many of you know that when you're speaking to your family and your friends, you're not talking about your favorite color. You're not talking about your favorite food. You're not talking about what you want for Christmas. You're talking about the important things. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. As you study the word of God, you'll find, man, Moses did the same thing. Many men of God did the same thing. Moses did it. Joshua did it. Paul the apostle did it. Peter did it. They came to the realization, hey, man, my final moments have come. God's spoken to me. It's come my time to go on to be with the Lord. And what they did was they gathered their friends. They gathered their family together. They gathered those who were close to them, those who were under their care, those who were under their leadership, and they began to pour into their lives and talk about the things they needed to know in order to be a success after they were gone. The important things of life. Are you with me so far? And so Jesus does that. If you look here in John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17, you'll find this portion of scripture packed full of the teachings of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, that means that the words of Jesus are written in red. You'll find, man, John 13 through 17 are packed full of red letters. Almost front to back, you'll find your Bible full of red, more so than just about any other place in the Bible, packed full of the teachings of Jesus. What did he do? He realized it was his final hour, and he gathered his disciples together, and he's beginning to pour into them the things that they need to know in order for them to be a success after he's gone. And what you'll find if you study these chapters is Jesus talks about two major subjects. And tonight I want to talk to you about one of them. And it's the subject of love. Remember, the title of the message tonight is Talk the Talk, Walk the Walk, Part 2. If you're taking notes, you can put in parentheses, the love walk. The love walk. How many of you realize that if Jesus spent his last hours, if Jesus spent his last moments talking about love, how many of you realize tonight love is important to God? The love walk is important to God. If all the things that Jesus could have talked about, of all the things that he could have said, He takes time in his final moments, in his final hours before he leaves the earth, and he begins to pour into his disciples about walking in love. And so tonight, guys, love is an important subject to God. Love holds importance in the eyes of the Lord. You know the verse just as well as I do. God is love. Love is an important subject to the Lord. And so tonight I want to talk to you about walking in love. You're there in John chapter 13, verse 1. If you'll just go over to John to verse number 35, same chapter. Verse number 35, love is important to God. Walking in love. Remember, we're talking about talk the talk, walk the walk. This is what Jesus says in verse 35. He says, by this will all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let me read that again. He says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I want you to notice here, guys, he didn't come along and say, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have prosperity, if you have a certain kind of home, if you have a certain kind of car, if you make a certain amount of money. He didn't come along and say that. He says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Notice here, he doesn't say, by this will all men know that you have that you're my disciples if you have joy, if you have peace. And tonight, I don't want you to get me wrong. God absolutely wants you to prosper in every area of your life, from the very top of the list to the very bottom. God absolutely wants you full of joy. Amen. How many can raise your hand and say, man, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. God wants you full of joy. God wants you full of peace. He wants you to rest in him. But the thing that Jesus emphasizes here, and the thing that he stresses here in this verse, is not our prosperity, it's not our joy, it's not our peace. And while that may draw some people here and there to him, what Jesus stresses and what Jesus emphasizes is, by this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, that you walk after me, by your love for one another, by your love for one another. I have this verse in the New Living Translation. Same verse. It says, do you have it? New Living Translation? All right. Oh, okay. Anyways, same verse, New Living Translation. It says, your love for one another. This is what it says. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Your love. And so, here again, man, the distinguishing factor, the characteristic, the virtue that separates us from everybody else, from everything else, is that of love. Listen, if you're watching tonight, if you're watching a TV program, man, and they had an interview with somebody, and they're saying, you know, when you think of Christians, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What is the number one thing that you think of when you think of Christians? That person's answer ought to be their love for one another. He said in the New Living Translation, if you have it, does anybody have the NLT version in here? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. So that's the distinguishing factor. That's the characteristic. That's the virtue that is supposed to separate us from everybody else, is our love for one another. You have it here in front of you in the New King James, but I want you to notice here too, that Jesus says, it's not your love for the world. It's not your outreach. It's not your missionary work. It's not your preaching that will prove to the world that you're my disciples, but it's your love for one another. In other words, the people sitting next to you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the person sitting on your right and the person sitting on your left. By this will all men know that you're his disciples, that you're followers of him, that you walk after him by your love for one another. Listen, guys, by your love for your parents, your natural parents, your mom and your dad. Listen, guys, by your love for your brothers and sisters, your natural brothers and sisters, by the love that you share, by the love that's expressed, by the love that's enjoined by you and your family, your cousins and your aunties and your uncles and your grandma and grandpa. By this will all men know that you're his followers, by the love that's shared and expressed and enjoyed and enjoined between you and your family, between you and those closest to you, between you and those in your world, in your circle. By this will all men know that you're his disciples, by your love for one another. That tells me this then. Listen, guys, if love is the one word that should come to the mind of the world when they think of us, if love is the distinguishing factor, if it's the characteristic, if it's the virtue that's to be present in our lives that separates us from everybody else, that tells me this: you and I have got to value love. You and I have got to value walking in love with one another. You and I have got to be devoted to this thing called the love walk. You and I have to purpose in our hearts today, if we're going to not just talk a talk, but we're going to walk a walk like Jesus asked us to do. You and I are going to have to purpose in our hearts today, man, I'm committed to this love walk. Man, I'm here and I'm going to practice walking in love. I'm going to rehearse walking in love. Man, if love is the one thing that should come to the mind of the world, that means, man, I'm going to have to learn about love. I like to say it like this: you and I have got to become love experts. You and I have got to become love professionals. If love is the one thing, you and I are going to have to become love experts. You and I are going to have to become love professionals. When I say the name Michael Jordan, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Basketball, professional basketball star. When I say the name Michael Jackson, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Pop star, probably the most popular pop star that ever lived. When I say Elvis Presley, what's the first thing that came to your mind? the King of Rock, the King of Rock and Roll, right? Some people would disagree with that title. Whatever, I'm not going to discuss that. What's the first thing you think of when you think of Tom Cruise? And he's an actor. And why do you think of these people? Somebody say Top Gun? You lost that love and feeling. Oh, that love. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about love. I mean, come on. But why? Because Michael Jordan, he valued basketball. He was a professional basketball player. He was a basketball expert. Kobe Bryant, basketball expert. He valued basketball. He placed value upon basketball. He was devoted to the game of basketball. He was determined in his heart. He purposed in his heart, man, I've got to practice basketball. I've got to practice my three-point shot and my free throw shot. I've got to practice driving to the rim. I've got to rehearse what my coaches said. I've got to learn more about basketball. I got to watch more Michael Jordan films. They were love professionals. And so here we come along, and the Bible says, man, the one thing that's to separate you and I from everybody else is love. When you think of Michael Jordan, the first thing you think of is basketball. When anybody else thinks about us Christians, they ought to think about love. That tells me you and I have got to be love professionals. You and I have got to be love experts. We've got to do just what the professional says, and we have to place value on walking in love. We have to be devoted. I know I'm repeating myself a lot, but I'm just wanting to make sure that you get it. Man, we've got to rehearse, and we've got to practice, and we've got to be devoted to learning more about walking in love. Because after all, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples indeed, by your love for one another. And so the best way that I found to be a love expert, the best way the Bible says that you and I can be a love professional, is by following the love expert. And by following the love professional. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. If you're there in verse number 35, look up at verse number 34. This is what Jesus says. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Pastor Luke preached about this wonderfully last week. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now watch these next words. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Let me read that again. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. And so Jesus comes along and says, hey, listen, your love for one another, that's what it's about. And I don't want you to just love any old kind of way. I want you to love as I have loved you. In other words, Jesus is to be the model. Jesus is to be the pattern that you and I follow when it comes to walking in love. Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the model. Jesus is the example that you and I are to follow. Another thing I see in this verse is that if Jesus went as far as to clarify that, hey, I'm the model, I'm the pattern, how many of you realize there are other models and there are other patterns that you and I could mold ourselves after? That we are not supposed to follow. We are not supposed to mold ourselves after. Listen, guys, the world has a definition of love. The world has a pattern of love. They have a model that they'd like you and I to follow, but we are not to follow that pattern. We are to follow the pattern and the model of Jesus Christ. This new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you love one another. So tonight I just have 3 points. How Jesus loved us. How Jesus loved us. Are you guys ready? Number one, Jesus, I'll repeat this, it's kind of long. Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Listen, guys, tonight, if we're going to walk in love, if we're going to be love experts, if we're going to be love professionals, we're going to have to follow his example. And Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. That means if we're going to walk in love, we're going to have to learn to joyfully choose to take action that will promote the welfare of one another. That will promote the welfare of one another. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verse number 2. He joyfully chose to take action that promoted our welfare. This is what the Bible says here in verse number 2, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me say it again. Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare, that promoted our well-being. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Listen, guys, our senior pastor tells us all the time, and it's good for us to hear and be reminded of, man, when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't an activity of fun and glee. He went to the cross, a beaten, bloody mess for you and I, out of love. He joyfully chose to take an action that would promote our welfare, our well-being. I like to say it like this. You and I are better off today because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago than we would have been if he didn't go at all. Amen? How many of you can raise your hand and say, man, I'm better off today. God pulled me out of the muck and the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. I'm better off today because he joyfully chose to take an action that promoted my welfare, that promoted my well-being. The Bible says, man, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, completely separated, completely alienated, completely cut off from the life of God. But Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. And again, if we're going to walk in love, we're going to have to do the same. So let me ask you tonight, when's the last time you're at work? And, you know, you get off at 5 o'clock and it's 4:50 and you've completed all the tasks that you need to that day. And now it's time to clean up. So you're like, cleaning up, man, I got to get out of here. Because when that clock strikes 5, I'm gone. And so you're cleaning up fast. You're getting everything ready to go for the next day, for the next person. You're getting all ready to go. And you're like watching your clock. Oh, my gosh, I got to hurry. Got to get out of here at 5. 4:58, you get done. 4:58, you're done. Me and Pastor Luke used to work at Sam's Club, man, and when it came close to the end of the day, we would always have to do returns, man. All people would just show up to the register, and, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this, and by the end of the day, there's this huge pile of stuff that we had to take back. So technically, we were supposed to get off at like 8, and then we'd be there till like 9:30 putting stuff back. So on when the days were slow enough, man, we try to hurry real fast and get everything done and back in place while we did our job so that when it came time to go, man, we could go home. So it's 4:58 and you've completed everything you have to do for the day and you're like, glory to God, I've got 2 minutes left and I'm out of here at 5. When's the last time you looked over at your neighbor? Said, you know what, man, I see you're not going to make it out of here by 5. I see you're going to be past. You're going to be over. You're going to go over. What can I do to help you get out of here? What can I do to help you? What are you doing? You're joyfully choosing to take an action that will promote their welfare. Listen, guys, we're all young adults in the house tonight, and most of you probably don't live at home anymore with your parents. When's the last time you called your parents up and said, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm just calling you today because I want to see how you're doing. I want you to know I love you. Oh, Dad's putting more brick in the backyard. Oh, you guys are painting the extra room. Is there anything I can do to help? Can I come over? Can I help you? Can I go to the store with you? I don't want Dad carrying all that stuff by himself. What are you doing? You're joyfully choosing to take an action that will promote the welfare of someone else, that will promote their well-being. Jesus joyfully chose to take an action, and he says that this is love. And if you're going to love the right way, you're going to have to love as I love. So how did Jesus love us? Again, number one, I know I said it a billion times, but Jesus joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Number two, how did Jesus love us? Number two, Jesus eliminated the distance that was between us and him despite our current condition. I know it's another huge, long point, so I'll say it like 5 more times while you write it down and make sure you get it. But Jesus eliminated the distance that was between us and him despite our current condition. How did Jesus love us? Remember, we're talking about, I've got to be a love expert. I've got to be a love professional. I've got to follow after his model. How did Jesus love us? He eliminated the distance that was between us and him, despite our current condition. Listen, guys, the Bible says that you and I were enemies of God. Enemies. God wasn't up in heaven like, oh, we're not really cool right now. The Bible says that you and I were enemies of God. There is enmity between us and him. You and I were deserving of his wrath, and yet Jesus comes along and he eliminates the distance that was between us and him, despite our current condition, despite the junk that we were involved in, despite the fact that we were in the kingdom of darkness, following after the father of lies. despite all that, he chose and he came and he eliminated the distance that was between us and him, so much so that now we're partakers of everything that he is. Listen, guys, if there's anything to shout about tonight, if there's anything to get excited about tonight, it's the fact that you have a living, breathing, walking relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's all because he went and he eliminated the distance that was between us and him, despite the fact of where we were at, regardless of the fact of where we were at. Tonight, guys, let's be honest about it. There are many of you in here who used to have a closer relationship with the person sitting next to you. You used to have a closer relationship with the person sitting two seats behind you, two seats in front of you, a little over there, yonder to the right, a little over there, yonder to the left. You used to have a closer relationship with them. But because of something that was said, because of something that was done, something took place, you were offended and you got hurt. But Jesus comes along and he eliminates the distance between us and him. If we're going to walk in love, we're going to have to do the same. We're going to have to eliminate the distance that's between us and those around us, despite the fact that they said this, they did this. If you and I are going to walk in love, we have to come to the place, what can I do to eliminate the distance? Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verse number 8. Jesus eliminated the distance that was between us and him despite our current condition. This is what the Bible says. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us. He demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, Christ died for us. What did he do? He eliminated the distance that was between us and him, despite our current condition. Listen, guys, remember we're talking about Jesus is the model. Jesus is the pattern. The world has a different model. The world has a different pattern. This is the pattern and the model of the world. This is their definition of love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You stab my back, I'll stab yours harder, deeper, more. That's the pattern of the world. But the pattern of God, the way that God walks in love, he says, but God demonstrates his own love, the model that we are to follow, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, tonight, guys, if you are thinking things, if you are saying things, and if you are doing things that are creating distance between you and those around you, chances are you're not walking in love. The bottom line is, if we're thinking, saying, and doing things that are creating distance between us and you name it, we're not walking in love. Because love eliminates the distance between itself and the other party, despite the current condition. So, again, just to kind of recap where we're at, how did Jesus love us? Number one, he joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Number two, he eliminated the distance that was between us and him despite our current condition. And number three, this kind of doesn't go along with that, how did Jesus love us, but it incorporates it all. So it's a good point. Have I confused you yet? Number three, what is love? What is love? Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. Yet another long one, so I'll say it one more time. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. Listen, tonight, guys, love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is not found in words alone. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. Listen, guys, you need to hear it as well as I do. Feelings are too flaky to base love on. Today you feel like loving, today, tomorrow you don't. Here today, gone tomorrow. Gone tomorrow. Ugh, gone tomorrow. I've got Pastor Jim in my mind too much. Here today, gone to Maui. But absolutely right. That's how our feelings work. That's how our emotions work. Here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone to Maui. Love cannot be based on emotion. Listen, guys, you know as well as I do, love is not found in words alone either. A husband can tell his wife he loves her all he wants, and then if he turns around and he's out messing around, it's not love. Love is not found in words only. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. That's how Jesus loved us. He decided to save us, and he consummated it, or he made it a reality, or he accomplished it when he went to that cross. He consummated his love. He accomplished his love. He made it a reality when he showed up with that action. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action. Turn with me in your Bibles for our last scripture tonight, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Love is the result of a decision consummated by an action, made a reality by our action. First John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Remember, we're talking about not just talking a talk, but walking a walk. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so just to recap tonight, remember we talked about, by this will all men know that you're his disciples, that you're his followers, that you're walking after him by your love for one another. Not those who are out and about, not your ministry to somebody you don't know, but your love for those who are close to you. And we realize, man, if this is true, if love is the one thing that should come to the mind of those on the outside about us, then you and I are going to have to be love experts. And the way that we become love experts, love professionals, is by following the love expert, the love professional. And how did he love? Number one, he joyfully chose to take an action that promoted our welfare. Number two, he eliminated the distance that was between us and him, despite and in disregard to where we were at. And finally, number three, what is love? Love is the result of a decision consummated, accomplished, made a reality by our action. So tonight, if you got something good from God's word, why don't you go ahead and give him a great big praise?